Hello, my children. Welcome to the jungles of recovery 101 radio, where we have our elder tribesmen, the Bruce, Shelley, and the Mark, learning us about the fellowships of all the A's. Most importantly, their favorites, the insanities. So join us, children, on this journey of recovery.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAFAIR, the NSA, the TSA,
the CIA,
the FBI, the KFC.
None of them, they're guys.
And we don't speak for the Clippers organization either.
You can now.
They got bought, right?
Well, it's being protested, but.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Awesome. So, how's your day, Shelly? How'd choir go?
I didn't go today.
Ooh.
I'm having some issues with.
Choral people?
No. I have had a week of really horrible drug side effects because they put me on an anti-inflammatory.
Yeah, that OxyContin's a bitch.
I used to have those.
No, for the rheumatoid arthritis, they put me on a sulfa anti-inflammatory. It's not a painkiller.
Sulfa.
But it's if they can reduce the inflammation. The side effect of that is that a lot of the pain goes away. So you don't need a painkiller. Yay! Unfortunately, sulfa drugs have a lot of side effects. And I blew up like a flipping balloon on Thursday.
What was the biggest side effect you experienced at first?
That was the blowing up like a balloon on Thursday.
Yes.
It was, you know...
Gas.
Catastrophic flatulence, extreme edition.
Oh.
It was the most... I looked like I was 63 weeks pregnant. I was huge.
She did look like she was pregnant, sort of.
Bruce is like, what are we going to name it?
Fart.
Get over here, you little fart.
Yeah, get over here, you little fart.
That went away, and then I got
She was afraid
totally
to go into the elevator at work. In case someone went in with her.
I was afraid something might happen in the elevator, and then basically it turns into a mobile fart box.
Well, what you could do normally is light a lighter, and that'll... burn it up all up out of the atmosphere.
But terrible.
With the amount of gas you had, lighting a lighter anywhere near you could have been catastrophic.
Yes. We're talking, okay. It would have leveled
a
city block.
Who has been in an elevator by themselves, and right before you get out of the elevator, you wait an extra second so you can really let that one rip really good and just leave it
there?
I've never done that.
And then I hope that no one got right in, but that when it went to
the next floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody got it and went, hey, what are we doing for lunch? Oh!
Yeah.
I have never done that. I have never experienced anything like that. Fortunately, that went away. But then I got totally itchy and started sprouting hives Saturday morning.
Which you needed to take medicine for.
I took Benadryl and then the hives went away, but I've still been itchy off and on. It depends. It seems to be waning
a bit.
Your depends
have been itchy? That's a bad place to be itchy.
No. We'll see what the doctor says tomorrow. How was your day, Mark? Can we move on from flatulence?
Geez, Shelly wanted to get right off of her day.
Can we please? So,
my day was busy. At church at 9. We had lunch at Debbie's mom's at noon. Dinner at my sister's house at 4. And then here. So I burned some gas today.
Awesome.
I was playing on the computer last night. Did all the show promotion and all that. Went to do my obligatory Facebook games. And I was starting to play Candy Crush.
I thought you maxed that out.
And I remember, well, there's an underneath level that
game.
You can play. And I was playing it. That's the last thing I remember. And I remember kind of, you know, like waking up and then dozing back off. And I was sitting up in the chair, which is not the most comfortable way to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And finally I woke up and I'm like, oh, and I'm just about to, you know, I'm like, oh, where am I in Candy Crush? And I look over to my right and there are birds chirping. And I look over to my right and I can see out the garage door fairly well.
It was the Grays.
It was the Grays, all right. But I mean,
the worst time to run out of
like,
dope.
I need to get into bed because I've been sitting up and like dozing off. This is how I did it the one time where I burnt my arm on the heater.
Yes.
By falling into a dead ass sleep with my arm in front of a space heater.
Yeah.
Inside a leather jacket, but just enough to get cooked. So I went to bed, then got up at noon 30.
The crack of noon 30?
The crack of noon 30. Went out and had a nice lunch out. Went, stopped by Starbucks, came back here, did all the obligatory stuff to get ready for the show. And what a fine,
Except
fine show it is.
Except for cleaning the studio.
Well, yeah, I was...
Which is funny because there's vacuums everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why they live here now, and they're totally in the way.
Actually, you know why, because you asked me and I told you.
Well, I've forgotten then.
We got them from Mark so I could vacuum out the inside of that truck.
Are they going to live here now?
They're only living here until Tuesday. On the bright side, I got a guy that's going to do all the mechanic stuff on my truck, the old truck.
Okay.
Awesome.
Gonna rebuild the tranny, rebuild the old 1954 carburetor, take care of the fuel problem, maybe even paint the engine. When he's done, it's going to look a whole heck of a lot better in there. And that, my friends, means it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. We're trying to be slightly careful with the doots because we realized with the new mixing board apparatus thing we have that we can max it out pretty easily with the doots if we're not careful.
Okay.
We've been known to redline the doots.
Yeah, it'll redline.
First story.
This is sad because I already saw it.
Ann B. Davis, for
you know
those
who
of you
is,
who
Alice.
Are too young
Alice.
To know who that is, has unfortunately passed away at the age of 88.
And in a sucky way.
Yeah,
too.
She fell. She was at her home and she fell in the bathroom and hit her head and never regained consciousness and just passed away.
That's the way Chick Hearn went from the Lakers.
Yeah.
It's just sad. But here, interestingly enough, here's a little Brady Bunch trivia question for you. What was the,
Tiger.
I don't want to say maiden name, but what was Carol Brady's name before she married Mike Brady?
Florence Henderson.
No, the character's name.
Oh, you didn't say that. Do not know.
Carol Martin.
Well, here's a trivia question for you. Whatever happened to that damn dog?
It ran away.
Do you remember the dog? They had a dog named Tiger. It was in like two episodes, and
yeah.
Then the dog just disappeared forever.
No, it was one more of the episodes than that.
Not many. And people always said, whatever happened to that damn dog? It was aliens.
Aliens.
Hmm.
Okay, the next story is from the first one I found somewhere, but the next story is from Fran.
Fantastic.
This is in the Philippines at the Cebu City Zoo.
Who's Cebu?
Cebu. Is it Cebu? Okay.
Cebu looks like Hawaii in the 40s. It's like really pristine.
Apparently, the zoo has found an interesting way to make a little bit of extra money. I don't know if they've trained or they're allowing or whatever, their Burmese pythons to give visitors a 15-minute massage by slithering all over their bodies.
Oh, I thought it was going to be
on
by
a massage
strangulation.
Table. No, they ensure the visitors that the snakes have been fed before they do this.
Does it say how big they are?
Well, the picture I saw, the woman laying on the massage table, the snake was pretty much covering her entire back, her neck, and her head.
So this is not the kind of massage you'd want to get for your infant.
No.
Because they'd be like, hey, where'd that kid go?
These are huge snakes.
Why does that snake look like it's pregnant all of a sudden?
Well, apparently the kneading and trembling sensations of the snake on the visitor's skin are calming and therapeutic.
I'll bet Indiana Jones would not feel that way.
Snakes. Why does it have to be snakes?
Yeah.
Ugh. Hate snakes.
Mark's texting God.
Yes, quite intently.
I'm not a snakes fan.
Vociferously.
The next story is from Bill.
Piper.
Yes, Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill P.
Sponsored in part by Bill Piper.
Thank you, Bill.
I guess anywhere in Fresno or around Fresno is a really bad place to try to do a home invasion robbery because everyone is armed and you're going to die.
Everybody's packing. Bless you.
Yes. A gun battle Thank broke you. Out in a rural home. This is near Fresno. It's in a surrounding suburban area called Orosi or something like that. I guess you could call them kids, because two of them are kids, 22, 18, 11, and 8, were in the house. The 22-year-old heard someone breaking in the door at least two people. They're saying possibly three because one ran away. Broke into the house.
Oh, wait, that tells you all you need to know, because one of them ran away, which means the other two got hit by gunfire.
The 22... runs and they have a gun safe in the house. Runs and gets the gun out of the safe.
That's a tough
and just
thing to
starts
do.
Popping caps in people's asses. One of the intruders dies at the scene. The other one was taken by another who they believe is another suspect and was dropped off at the medical center for treatment, and he is in serious to critical condition.
The 22-year-old, let me guess, not charged.
No.
More water for me.
You know, I was just watching because there was another terrible thing up in Santa Barbara. Guy went around, killed a bunch of people. And, you know, and as usual on Facebook, we got to have gun control things come up. And I started wondering how many lives get saved every year by armed people. And so I looked up on YouTube where armed citizens thwart all kinds of things. And the very first thing I find is senior citizen. This guy is in a casino. These masked gunmen, two gunmen come in. The guy's pointing his gun at a variety of people. And in the background, you see this guy just reach into his holster. This guy's 65 years old or 75 years old or something. Pulls it out and starts popping them. Gets both of them.
Yep.
And he goes, you know what? I am tired of guys coming in and threatening people. And he goes, you know what? I fear for my life when I see some kid pull a gun out and start pointing it at my wife.
Yep.
And
you
know,
talking about the guy that was in that casino?
Yeah. Not
the story that you've recounted on the air two other times?
It's okay.
Because you could never tell that story too many times.
It fits.
Oh, okay.
But if you look on YouTube, there are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos of people stopping armed robbers. And, you know, armed robbers, if you stop them, they don't shoot anybody. But oftentimes they do.
I 100% agree with gun control. I just like the Jesse Ventura method.
Learn how to use it so you can control it better?
Gun control is being able to put two through the same hole from 25 feet.
There you go.
That's gun control.
It is. Ask Bill.
That's right.
Speaking of Bill, our next story is also from Bill. Actually, the next two are from Bill.
Bill's taking over the airwaves.
He is. This is really sad.
Hey, Bill, I'm going to be up here in the middle of June.
This also happened in Fresno and around Fresno, actually. Various cemeteries on Memorial Day. There's a gentleman named David Paul Davenport, 63 years old. And every year on Memorial Day, he goes and places American flags on soldiers' graves at various cemeteries in and around Fresno.
Awesome.
One's in Clovis. One's at the Red Bank Cemetery.
Was this not the hero of the week?
Well, I guess he is a hero for putting all those flags on soldiers. He was never a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that he wanted to honor those who had served their country, and he's done this every year. This year, he did it on Memorial Day. The next day, only three flags were left. Someone went and stole them all.
That's not
Idiots.
The hero.
That's sad. Why would you do that? Why would you pull the flags off of veterans' graves?
Can I go on record here for 1 second
yes.
and say, folks, when I'm on Facebook and it's Memorial Day and I say thank you to all our servicemen that are serving, that's Veterans Day.
Right.
And Memorial Day is to honor those who have perished.
Right.
And I don't want to say not to thank servicemen, because we should always thank servicemen. But Memorial Day is specifically for those who have passed
right.
in the line of duty. So it makes me a little apoplectic when I read, hey, thank you for serving. You know, today is your day. No, it's not. Your day
you know
is
what,
Veterans
though?
Day.
You know what, though? every day is their day.
Well, every day is their day, but this is the day to mourn those
exactly
that have
but,
passed.
But if someone wants to take the time to thank those who served,
then they should thank them on a different day, like every other day. Leave Memorial Day to
day.
The those that passed, and then every other day, go up and thank a guy.
Memorial Day used to be called Decoration Day because that was the day that the widows and family members of soldiers who had died in battle had their families would all go to their graveside and decorate their graves.
And then somebody steal it all the next day? Yeah.
Basically, everybody's stealing it all the next day.
I'll bet they didn't
ridiculous.
Back then.
No, good Lord, no. Also from Bill Peen, new evidence suggests that human beings have been using alcohol and drugs to alter their consciousness.
We knew this already.
For as long as 7,000 years before Christ. That's a long time.
That was a fermented apple.
They have found evidence, and one of the places where they found evidence, it was a paleontologists have been digging up like Neanderthal remains and stuff. They've found traces of burned plants that contain THC. So
ooh.
They were getting high as long as 7,000 years before Christ.
Spark, what up, Elijah?
I didn't even know that Neanderthals did. Neanderthals do the fire thing? Did they?
Apparently, according to these paleontologists.
I'll bet you could find mushrooms in some of them.
Oh yes, actually, mm-hmm. there's a list of the psychoactive plants they've found in some of these sites, and it is opium poppies. Deadly nightshade, hallucinogenic mushrooms, and ergo fungus.
Deadly nightshade does not seem like the thing I really want to try.
Apparently, you can do something with it. I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Maybe if you just do some, it's not quite deadly.
Well, actually, deadly nightshade is also known as belladonna, and a lot of people
use the belladonna treatment.
The belladonna treatment for alcoholics, but because it's a soporific. If you take too much of it, it'll kill you. You'll die.
So what you're saying is it's so terrific.
Soporific, meaning it makes you sleepy.
So terrific.
Brother.
So I'm saying so terrific.
It's
never
so terrific.
Mind.
So terrific.
Let's see.
You protect me against frogs?
The next story.
Did they find anyone licking frogs on there?
We'll get to that later.
Whoever thought, who's the first guy to do that? You know, if I lick this frog's back, it'll get me loaded.
I'm pretty
you know
sure
was?
I know how that happened.
You know what it was? It was a girl. It was a female who did it. She was trying to find her prince.
By licking it?
Well, she thought she kissed the frog, and she French kissed the frog.
Awesome.
And also, she didn't care if she found her prince anymore.
Ever want to see something funny? Look up the monkey and the frog.
Oh, no, I really don't want to see that again. The next story is from Fran.
Fran!
I am sure that both of you have heard something about this story, and apparently the story I heard was escalated to a point where some of it was no longer true. This happened in San Francisco. This is the millionaire who's made a fortune in real estate money, has started unloading some of that money in his little treasure hunt stunt all over San Francisco.
Envelopes.
Yes, he puts $100 bills in envelopes, and then we'll post clues around, and you go to Twitter to read his clues, and then if you find the money, you're supposed to post a picture of yourself with the money, and he's hoping that people will pay some of that money forward. Yeah, right. That's going to happen.
How many of those people are getting the crap beat out of them?
I don't know, but it's created quite a sensation with people like thronging the streets looking for this stuff.
Well, that's what I mean. You get five guys that show up pretty sure they know where it is all at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Know there's a $100 bill in that envelope. See the envelope. Go for the envelope. Who's getting their ass kicked?
Well, somebody did because I saw they posted on this article, they posted some of the pictures that people have posted to Twitter. One guy is holding up his $100 bill with the envelope saying, I had to beat five guys to get it or three guys or whatever, but I got it.
There's guys laying on the ground behind him.
I'm like,
bloody.
Wow, okay, maybe this isn't such a good idea. He's doing this to try to pay it forward. He's been unloading about $1,000 a day. Doesn't say how long he says he's going to do it. You can go to Hidden Cash, at Hidden Cash on Twitter to find out when the next giveaway is. But it's only in San Francisco. However, he is going to be heading to San Jose and Los Angeles and possibly New York in the future. I want to see what happens in New York. I want him to do it in New Jersey because that would be a bloodbath.
South side of Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, anywhere
in Texas.
I was going to say, they should do it in the middle of Texas.
Anywhere in Texas.
Where everyone's armed.
It's the frickin' OK Corral.
Let's see. We'll do one more.
You know, violent crime is way down in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I will do one more. This one's from Phil M. Phil M. This is in... scientists are trying to find out if animals... You know, we've done stories about animals being intoxicated before.
Oh, yeah. I've watched
well,
it.
Well, there are some French scientists that are trying to determine whether or not the animals actually intend or want to get drunk, or whether it's just a byproduct of them foraging. Because there are, like in South Africa, there's a legend about the elephants that go to eat this one specific fruit just because they want to get drunk, so they stagger around.
There's video of it
right.
on YouTube. Oh,
that's where the elephant bar was created.
And all the animals are getting hammered there.
Well, and this story actually may explain how people figured out how to lick frogs.
It's an animal rave.
Because not only do elephants like to get drunk, apparently, wallabies in Australia will seek out certain poppy plants to get drunk. Dogs in some areas of the various countries where they have those toads that have the psychoactive stuff on their skin, dogs have gotten addicted to licking the toads. So apparently what happens is these dogs go around licking the toads. People see the dogs doing that and then getting intoxicated. So people started doing it.
My dog licked my toes once.
No, not toes. Toads. Toads.
Oh, never mind.
I'm hoping you don't have anything on your toes that
psychotropic.
Make someone have
might still be baking out of my skin after 29 years. Who knows?
And apparently vervet monkeys, it has now been handed down through various generations of vervet monkeys on St. Kitts Island, have learned to steal drinks from tourists that aren't paying attention to their drinks. And it, you know, it may have started with one or two monkeys who figured this out, but now they're teaching their young to do it.
Wow.
So it's not just stupid humans anymore.
I saw a video of guys they were on like safari or something, and they're stopped at this one place. This monkey comes in through the roof, grabs an egg out of this guy's hand and takes off with it. And the guy's like chasing him around. He's like, "Hey, you've got my egg. You've got my egg." And this monkey's just like jamming around with it. "Hey, you've got my drink."
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation.
At Sober College. At SoFullHappens.com.
Oops. Thanks for jumping in there, Shelly.
Sorry.
Shelly was...
Whatevs.
What were you doing?
Nothing. Just zoning out.
So, Mark.
Yeah.
We have a topic.
We do have a topic. Hoarders.
Hoarders. Not like the TV show.
Might be.
In a different way. TV show's disgusting.
Should we have our grammarian explain what a hoarder is?
Okay, Major Grammarian.
A hoarder is someone who accumulates unnecessary or potentially injurious amounts of one or more substances in a contained area.
Does it have to be?
Somebody who doesn't get rid of anything.
Yeah, it
right.
Does, yeah, it doesn't have to be something injurious, right?
In this case, it could be.
No, but I mean, someone could. Yeah, well, in this case, it could be. But I mean, it could be someone like a regular hoarder. They could like save clothes.
You save enough clothes, you're going to run out of room in your house, and you're going to get suffocated by your sweaters.
There you go. So, Mark, as yeah. in.
Whoops. God's calling.
God's calling.
As in. Oh, I got to take this, too. So you got to explain it there.
Okay. So what we've got then are the people that hoard their recovery, the ones who have been given things so freely given them.
Right.
But they have not given any back. And we know that happens.
Yes. I've seen it happen.
Yeah. Tell us about it, won't you?
Tell us about it. Well, the one person that I immediately came to mind that I'm thinking of in particular is one of the, he has like, you know, double digit recovery. Although I'm not exactly sure how recovered this person is. However, takes no sponsees, goes to meetings. I've seen him do service work, like, you know, help do the literature or whatever for the meeting.
Right.
But is generally one of the crankiest, cussedest people I have ever met in my life. It's almost like he's got emotional constipation.
Like, does it start with an L?
No.
Does it start with a J?
No.
Oh. Well, I'm wrong on those two guys.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure who you're talking about. But, yeah, it's almost like the effort of keeping his recovery contained within himself has caused him to just be cranky all the time.
Sounds like LH.
Oh. Yeah, actually, he could be considered a hoarder, too. But I was thinking of somebody else.
JB?
I don't know who.
Apparently not.
No. Although, okay. That's another good example.
So anyway, since that's riveting for the people at home.
Yeah.
What do you think they should do? I mean, what do you think is stopping them from sharing that recovery with other people?
Fear.
You think so?
Because, I mean, speaking from my perspective, when I'm asked to sponsor someone, there's always this little bit of fear inside me that I'm going to do something that's going to mess it up for them. You know, but the reality is that I can't. I mean, as long as I
right.
follow the book, which is one of the reasons why I am so, I don't veer away from the first 164 pages. Now, I know we don't speak for any fellowship, but I sponsor out of this one particular book, the big book.
Okay.
Because if I sponsor people out of my head, that's a bad idea. You know,
right.
There are a couple of things that my sponsor did with me that I do with my sponsees, but I don't, as a general rule, I don't use worksheets. I don't do any of the, you know, other, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't or that people can't or whatever. That's, you know, I'm not going to get involved.
Their program's their program. And their sponsoring style is their sponsoring style.
Right, but it's supposed to be the program, not
right.
your program. But, so I go pretty much strictly out of the book. So it would be hard for me to really mess it up that badly. Because it's not my program, I'm using the program. But
gotcha.
But there's always that little bit of fear there that what if this isn't really what they need or what if I'm doing it wrong and they go back out or whatever. But the reality is I'm not that powerful. I'm just here to do exactly what my sponsor did with me. I just pass it along and it should be all good.
I think that the fear thing is right on the money. I have a guy that I sponsor. He just took 4 years. I'm like, you should be sponsoring people because nothing ensures your recovery more than working with another alky addict. Yeah.
Sorry about that. I'm back now.
And he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to work with anybody. He's afraid. Oh, he's afraid. I don't have anything to give him. I said, you do, though. Now, Mark.
Yeah.
So we've determined that, you know, we're talking about people that are hoarding their own recovery.
Right.
You know, they're getting it freely given them, and they're not freely giving it away.
Correct. And, you know, I watch this and I see the people like that they're afraid to sponsor people. Oh, no, I'm not ready to sponsor people. They've got 3-4 years. They've worked the steps. And I think about when I came in the program, the guy with 9 months sponsored everybody.
Right. Because he had time.
Because he had time. So it wasn't a matter of you needed all these years. You just needed a solid foundation in the program. I mean, that was back also in the day where all you had to be is one step ahead of the guy you were sponsoring.
Well, and they always used to say, you know, the guy sitting outside an AA meeting who hasn't drank in 3 days can tell the guy sitting on the curb next to him how he didn't drink for 3 days because this guy doesn't have any days, and he wants to know, how the hell did you not drink for 3 days?
Yeah, which is more important than how you didn't drink for 24 years.
You know what? We used to notice that where when I was at Impact House, a guy would come in to speak and for this NA meeting, and they would have the guy they brought with them to lead. And usually...
Yeah, one of their sponsees.
Often, yeah. Oftentimes, it's a sponsee of the guy who's speaking.
Yeah.
So the guy comes up, he shares, he's got, you know, 3 months. I am glued to every word this guy says.
Yeah.
Sponsor gets up and shares, he's got 33 years. A, I don't think he's being honest. I don't think he has 33 years. But the guy with 3 months, I'm pretty sure he might have 3 months. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. How did you get that?
Yeah.
The guy with 33 years, I can't even fathom
what
he's got. Yeah. But what you will find as a general rule is guys with 30-something years will have sponsees. And usually a grip of them.
Yeah. Or have had a grip of them over the years.
And do you know what I notice about guys with a lot of time often? They almost never turn anybody down. And I think it's because we know. What do you get? A guy comes to you, I want you to sponsor me. You know what I tell him? Call me every day for a week. Half of them don't even do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so even though I told him I'd sponsor him, they're gone. I don't hear from them again. No skin off my nose. I made myself available to them. They did not take what I...
The only time I ever say no is if I'm speaking on a panel at a recovery center.
Yeah, that's an issue.
That's actually been a topic before on this show.
Yeah,
I've done that and said yes, and found myself in a world of hurt because
I find myself being interviewed.
Yeah, by the people that run the facility.
Yeah,
and they want to know things like my social security number, and I'm like,
none of your business.
No, I am not giving you my social. You don't get to have any information. That's not how this works.
Well, I'll give you an example. Sponsored people that I either knew that went to this place or somehow I ran into them at a meeting. River Community.
Uh-huh.
Now, River Community, I didn't interview with anybody. Now, the problem with River Community is...
It's an hour away from everywhere.
It's a hike. And it's up in the canyon.
Yep.
And even though as the crow flies, it's probably not more than 4 or 5 miles.
Yeah. You're not going to pick them up by crow.
As the road goes, it's quite the drive.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, I also picked up somebody at ARC. I never interviewed with anybody there.
Mm-hmm.
However, Shelley, you picked up someone at Prototypes.
A couple of people.
And they wanted to know everything about
everything.
You.
Everything. I had...
And in a way, I kind of get that too, but they go a little overboard.
Yeah, I was just, I won't do it anymore. Of course, I'm not.
You hoarder, you.
Well, no, I mean, I accept everybody who asks me, basically. And for the reason that you said before is because I know that 90% of them aren't going to stick. And I also know that I have somehow fallen into this role of being the temporary sponsor. People want me to sponsor them, and then I get them through their fifth. I've done it like 4 times now. And the next thing I know, they fire me because they want somebody who can devote more time to them. I'm like, so
they get selfish.
Yes, I'm very selfish.
Now there's a weird way to work program because now that they've told someone everything about them, now they don't want to work with you anymore.
What the heck?
And you know that the next sponsor is going to be, I need you to write an inventory at some point because I need to know everything about you.
Don't get it, but you know, if that's my role, if my role is damage control and crisis intervention, I'm good with
that. You know, we should take a group conscience sometime on like the area level that if a sponsee fires you after their fifth step, you can tell people about it.
A about
the problem
fifth
is,
step?
The problem is remembering it because I've heard four fifth steps now. I don't remember.
I record them
pretty
all.
Much anything.
Yeah,
I record them all.
That one was hysterical, Bruce. That you
oh yeah,
were, yeah, that was
oh, yeah.
great.
I record them.
Jeez, no, but going back to the prototypes thing, I can understand why they have a hard time getting sponsors for those girls. If that's if you have to go through a federal level background check through Homeland Security to sponsor somebody, I'm like, that's not how it works.
I had a guy ask me to sponsor him one time. I got a call from the facility. We need some information from you. I said, I have
great,
a car.
Here's my phone number.
I have a car. I have insurance. I have a driver's license.
They said, here's my phone number.
Well, we need more than that. Well, that's all you get. Well, no, we need more than that. I'm sorry. Why? Well, that's our policy. Okay. Why?
Oh, you want to steal my identity?
I said, look, here's the deal. I don't care what your program is, because
I'm here to help. I'm in because
I'm in a program that tells me, hey, I'm in an anonymous program. So I don't need to tell you anything.
Yeah, I don't have to.
Now, I don't have to sponsor this guy. If you tell this guy, sorry, you can't have, I had 26 years at the time. You can't have the guy with 26 years.
Because he doesn't want to give his Social Security number.
So if you want to tell the guy who's got 9 days he can't have the guy with 26 years, fine. I don't care. It's okay. He asked me to help. I said I would. Oh, well, we'd hate to lose people like you. Obviously, you don't hate to lose people. I said, A, I'm not that special.
And B, I'm probably not the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably lose a lot of people who turn around and tell you to stick it in your ear.
So let me ask both of you guys this, because I've never been in that position where I've had anyone ask me for Social Security information and stuff like that. Do you think that the impression, whether it's true or not, that the impression that these places get is that you guys are hoarders? Because you don't want to, you know, give them the info so you're not really going to help out. Because
I don't want to give away my bank account information on my social?
No, I doubt they're asking you for your bank
account. I am a hoarder. I am a hoarder. I like what's in my account.
They didn't ask me for my bank account information, but I was asked for my driver's license and Social Security number. I said, no.
You know what? And see, I get the driver's license. You know why?
I don't.
You know why? Because they are responsible for the well-being of their client. They want to know that if you're going to come and pick them up, that you're legal to drive, because if something happens to that client, they're probably somewhat held responsible. I could even see them asking for proof of insurance. I really could. What the F does Social Security – you know, the other thing might be a safety thing. It could be an insurance thing. I get that from a corporate or a hospital point of view.
Yeah.
Social Security number, WTF.
Yes.
For what? What reason could they possibly need – to have your social.
And if you think about it, most people who run recovery facilities at one time or another were an addict or alcoholic. Those are the people who move into those positions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give a guy in recovery who may or may not stick around my social and driver's license number.
Well, and the other thing I was thinking about, driver's license number, you know what else you can use a driver's license number for? You can put it in the L.A. County Sheriff's thing, and it'll tell you if there's any warrants or wants for them. That could be a reason as well.
You can also use the driver's license number to apply for and receive a credit card in someone else's name.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I look at driver's licenses every damn day. Holy crap. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you also look at credit cards every day, too, and you have all the information off of that.
Yeah, that's true. You know that I used to have a credit card machine that on the receipt printed out the entire card number. And I told them, I go, you guys got to come in here and reprogram this thing because that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people lose their credit card? If it has the entire thing on it and the expiration, they could use all they need is the zip code, and they could use that online to order anything.
Yep.
Yikes. So, Shelley, what would your final words be on hoarding?
Well, I don't know. I read a story once about a woman who hoarded newspapers, and she was eventually killed when all the stacks of newspapers fell on her and crushed her. So if you don't want to get crushed by your disease, you have to give away what you've been given.
There you go. Not too shabby there. Mark?
The program of recovery is meant to move through you, not to you.
Ooh. Ah. Let's see. My final word. I don't really have good final words for this. You guys both smoked me on this. I guess my final words on
the grass might
is,
be greener on the other side. Oh.
And you know what? No. You know what?
If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing.
No. The dumbest, easiest one for this, which I can't believe neither one of you said, you can't keep it unless you give it away.
Okay. We left that for you.
Good, because I needed one.
Yeah.
Shelley?
Yes?
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town. As our friend in the Inland Empire has done with the 12stepgazette.com/IE edition, which is for Southern California. You can go there and read all of the happenings in our area.
And I would really tell people, if you've ever seen the 12-Step Gazette, and if you've had them either looked at it online or had them send you a version from the 12stepgazette.com/IE, the Inland Empire Division, look at what they're doing. Do you want to make some money? Are you unemployed? Do that. There's a couple people doing it that are living on the income from it. So you know what? If you want to, you know, kick out your old boss or you don't have a boss, check it out. There's no reason not to. Mark. People listen to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who's the lead on music?
And we appreciate that. And however you listen to the show, please continue to do so. We do ask that you go visit our site at recovery101.net. You can click on a show. And you can also become a member of Podomatic. When the box comes up that tells you you can join, please join. Once you have joined Podomatic, you will get updates when we post shows. You can like and you can comment and you can leave show suggestions in your comments and add us to your playlist for your party needs.
And it's really easy. If you go to Podomatic and you click log in, you can sign up for Podomatic by logging in with your Facebook account.
So if you are Facebook friendly, you can get in.
You can create an account in like, it's like 5 seconds. By the way, shout out to John.
John Kay.
And Georgette.
Georgette, who is our new BFF.
Why? Yeah, apparently these guys are following every single day. And
leaving comments. We started getting notifications. I don't know when this happened, but we started getting all our Podomatic notifications in the Recovery 101 radio at gmail.com address. So all of a sudden, I go in, and this has never happened before this week. I go in to get Boozy News sent to us by listeners, and there's 47 million emails from Podomatic talking about who's following and who's
commenting, who's posting, who's liking.
You know, most of them are like one name type of things. At least half of them. Georgette has figured out the system. She follows every flipping day.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
I would encourage everyone to do that.
And John Kay has been leaving comments on all the shows.
Okay.
They are our new BFFs.
Cool.
Awesome. Also, by the way, if you are Facebook friendly, you can follow us by liking the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. You can also, if you want to be anonymous, join the Recovery 101 group. You need to ask to be added to that because it's a private group. If you ask, ye shall receive. If you spam, ye shall receive the slipper of death from Shelley. Also, we have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff, recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelley, who's the lead on music by?
I actually didn't think about that ahead of time.
Deer in the headlights.
How about... let's do Doug. We got a good comment about Doug on the previous show.
Doug's awesome.
Yeah, they love that song.
Falling Down. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I never